وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Shall we have the class from the book Kitab Bulugh al-Maram للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى. We are still in the chapter الجمعة, about the جمعة prayer. باب صلاة الجمعة, الجمعة prayer. حديث number إن شاء الله تعالى 374. حديث 374 وعن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان في الخطبة يقرأ آيات من القرآن يذكر الناس. رواه أبو داود وأصله في مسلم. نارى جابر بن سمرة, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite some verses from the Quran in the Friday khutbah, religious talk or sermon, reminding the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite some verses from the Quran in their Friday khutbah, Friday lecture, reminding the people. Abu Dawud reported, and its basic meaning is in Muslim, in Sahih Muslim. So in this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give Friday lecture, and that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite some verses from the Quran in his lecture, reminding people. وعن جابر وعن طارق بن شهاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الجمعة حق واجب على كل مسلم في جماعة إلا أربعة مملوك إلا أربعة أو أربعة أربعة مرفوع أم منصوب. الجمعة حق واجب على كل مسلم في جماعة إلا أربعة. محمد حبيب, مرفوع أم منصوب؟ Okay, you have إلا على أربعة. طيب, the one I have إلا أربعة. طيب, إلا على أربعة is مجرور. How about إلا أربعة? Is it منصوب or مرفوع? Who can remind us? منصوب. Why is it منصوب? Get close if you don't mind. From the sunnah is to get close to the halaqa. Yes, the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, and when you close, you focus on more, the distraction is less. Yes, why is it mansub, Ahmed? Tayyib, Ustath Naminu is mentioned. And it's not manfi. What do you call this? It's tamun. Tamun muthbat. What's the ruling? Mansub. Ahsant. You're right. 100%. Barakallahu fiq. Yes. So it should be arba'atan. Sometimes there is no vowel. There is no vowels. Actually, all these vowels was written on later on. It was not at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba, to make it easy for the non-Arabic speakers. Even the Quran was not used to have the vowels. You see it, Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma. Because if you know the rule, you know it. So if you know the grammar, then you will know, inshallah. So illa arba'atan. Mamlukun. Al-jum'atu haqqun wajibun ala kulli muslimin fi jama'atin illa arba'atun. Illa arba'atan mamlukun, ay hum mamlukun. Wa mura'atun wa sabiyun wa marib. Awa Abu Dawud wa qala lam yasma' tariqun min al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhrajahu al-Hakim min riwayat tariq al-Madhkur an Abi Musa, ay al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. Narir Tariq ibn Shihab, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him. He says in the footnote, he is an Ahmusi, al-Bajali, a Kufi and lived long both in the Jahiliyyah and Islamic era. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but didn't hear a hadith from him. He took part in 33 or 34 military expeditions during the caliphate of Abu Bakr and Umar. He died in 82 Hijriya. So this Sahabi, Tariq radiallahu anhu, narrated Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Friday prayer in congregation is an obligatory duty upon every Muslim, with the exception of four: a slave, a woman, a child, and a sick person. Reported by Abu Dawud, who said that Tariq didn't hear any hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Hakim also reported it from the narration of the aforementioned Tariq, who narrated from Abu Musa. So this narration, reported by the Sahabi, Tariq, he's a companion, but Imam Abu Dawud says he didn't hear anything from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, what do you call when the someone who didn't narrate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you call his narration? Naam? Mursal. Wal mursalu minhu, but no, mursal minhu sahabi saqat. La, that's the one sahabi. Yes, munqati is a general name. So the narration is cut off since the sahabi he didn't hear, based on Imam Abu Dawud, but al-Hakim, he narrated from Tariq himself, from the sahabi, from the other Sahabi of Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So it's connected. And Shaghal al-Bani authenticated the hadith. He said, Hassan. Also, there is another narration which mentioned also the Musafir, the traveler. The traveler. It's also authentic. So the Friday prayer is not mandatory on those five people. There is another narration saying Ahl al-Badi also, the Bedouins, Friday is prayer is not mandatory on them. The woman, the children, the sick person, the slave, the traveler, and the Bedouins who are the people who are not in cities. But if they attend, then it will be valid for them. For instance, the woman, if she attends the Friday lecture, then it's valid for her. Female Sahaba used to attend Prophet's Friday lecture, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as one of the memorized Surah Al-Qaf from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reciting it on the mimbar in every Friday. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى نعم والمرسل منه السحابي سقط صحيح صحيح أحسنت هناك مرسل السحابي. المرسل هو ما رفعه تابعي أو صحابي لم يسمع من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم فهذا قال في البيقوني: والمرسل منه السحابي سقط، وقل قريب ما روى راو فقط. So also if the Sahabi narrate from Prophet Sallam, but he didn't hear from the Messenger Sallam, it's called Mursal. So it's not known who the Sahabi narrated. Did he narrate from another companion, which is here Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, or he narrated from a Tabi'i? If he narrated from Sahabi, then it is authentic. All the Sahaba, their narrations are accepted. It's accepted. But if you narrate from the Tabi'i, the one who didn't meet the Prophet, then it depends. Some Tabi'in are thiqah. Their narration is accepted. And some of them, they are not. Their narration is not accepted. So they have to be known. But here, as Hakim, he mentioned, he narrated the same hadith from the Tariq Sahabi, who narrated from the other Sahabi, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And we know Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was from the Quranic reciters, from the Sahaba. One night he recited Quran in Tahajjud. We ask Allah to help us to pray Tahajjud, the way the Prophet used to pray, and the righteous people. He was reciting, he was praying Tahajjud, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hear him. He liked his voice so much. And in the morning, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُدِ. You've been given one of the beautiful voices of Prophet Dawood. The Sahabi said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, if I would have known you were listening to me, لَحَبَّرْتُكَ تَحْبِيرًا. I would have beautified my voice more. I didn't know that, Sahabi said. Naam. Why the Sahabi beautify more? Yeah, somebody beautify the recitation for someone else. You were reciting and you come to know someone come and you beautify your recitation for the person who come. What's the ruling of that? Showing off? Taib, what's the ruling of that kind of showing off? If you call it showing off, what's the ruling of it? This is permissible. This depends on the intention. It depends on the intention. Just like if you show off the sadaqah, charity, to encourage people. This goes back to the intention. The Sahabi, he wanted to beautify the Quran more for the Prophet ﷺ because Prophet ﷺ likes that. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Naam. Subhanallah, some reciters, when they recite Quran, Allahu Akbar. Yes, they're different than the other people. Some reciters, you sleep. Some of them, you wake up, even if you are asleep. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. One of the Quran reciters, he was leading the last 10 Ramadan, and I was in Mecca in the Haram. He was leading the Tahajjud, second prayer. When he was reciting, I said to myself, I wish this one he recited in the Jannah. Very nice recitation. So, Alhamdulillah. So the Sahabi, he doing that to make the Prophet more happy by reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal the way it is. Naam. So is the intention. Just like if you show the people, you tell them, I spend so and so, just to encourage them. Naam. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Yes. Why it's legislated a Muslim to pray the Sunnah prayer at home? To show who? To show the family. Yes. Some of us, they might hide even from the family. No. If the reason is to encourage them, to know father praying, to see mother praying, brother praying. Naam, have the intention. You're calling people to khair, to good. But if it is show off, then this is the problem. To show off means to be praised by the people, not for the sake of Allah. Al-Muhim. So, the Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ, he affirmed أقر للصحابي affirm for Abu Musa when he said that. He suddenly didn't say, oh, Abu Musa, you shouldn't change anything, regardless who is listening to you. He didn't say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He accepted. So that's right. It's based on the intention. Rather, there was a Sahabi, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as Sahih Muslim, he encouraged to give sadaqah because the poor Muslims with the torn clothes, with very rough life, they came. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was very kind. When he see what these Muslims are going through of poverty, he gathered the Sahaba. He encouraged to give sadaqah, charity. They spend it, radiallahu anhum. They spend, but it was not enough. We wouldn't cover the need of those people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't like that. His face changed. And then one Sahabi, he brought a big sadaqah, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hand couldn't handle up. When that happened, many Sahaba brought the sadaqah. They follow him. When that happened, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasana, falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha." This is Sahih Muslim. Whoever makes sunnah, good sunnah, he get the reward of it, and the reward of whoever act according to it, whoever follow in him in that without reusing the reward. Sunnatun hasana. This is good sunnah. The Sufi Ahlul Bid'ah, they say bid'atun hasana, good innovation. They use this hadith. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say good innovation. He didn't say bid'atun hasana. What did he say? Sunnatun hasana. Sunnatun, it's sunnah. It's good sunnah. But this sahabi, he revived it. He revived, he showed the people the sacrifice. So when they saw him, they spend it. So he get the reward of everyone who spend after that, following him, taking him as example. He encouraged people, radiallahu ta'ala, and they get the reward as well. So if someone show his ibadah to encourage others, this good intention. Then وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس على مسافر جمعة رواه الطبراني بإسناد ضعيف. نارير ابن عمر may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said جمعة prayer is not obligatory on a traveler. Reported by At-Tirmidhi through a weak chain of narrators. Sheikh al-Albani authenticated that some narrations collectively showing that Jum'ah is not mandatory on a traveler. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استوى على المنبر استقبلناه بوجوهنا رواه الترمذي بإسناد ضعيف وله شاهد من حديث البراء عند ابن خزيمة. Narrated Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. Whenever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar to give means the Friday lecture, we used to face him. Whenever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar, we used to face him. At-Tirmidhi reported it through a weak chain of narrators. It has a shahid, a supporting narration in the hadith of Al-Bara reported by Ibn Khuzayma. And so this is authentic narration that the Sahaba used to face the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he is giving the lecture. So if you are, for instance, sitting in the masjid from that corner, Friday lecture, you face the one giving Friday lecture. Yes. Yes, you face, wherever you are, you face the person. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's giving Friday lecture, he was not used to look corners like many of the lecturers they do. They give a Friday lecture, they look the left, they look the mirror, they do look the right. He was not used to do salsa. He used to look straight. The ulama they mentioned, like Imam Shafi and others, it's disliked. Even though some Salafi scholars, they do that. Some of the ulama, they do that. But many of the Salaf al-Salih, they say it's makruh to look in front as Imam Shafi. And they mentioned the reason is because when the lecturer is not like now, the mic, alhamdulillah, from the blessings of Allah upon us, having a mic. For if I give a talk and a mic, whether I look at you or I look to the right, I look to the left, everyone hears me. But without mic, who hears you the most? The people you are facing them. That your voice is sharp to them in front of you, not those who are in the corner to the left. Is this understandable? So those you face are the middle people. If you turn away from them to the right, for instance, to the right, the left people will not hear you. That's what happened. If you look to the right, the left people will not. To the left, the right people will not. But if you are in the mirror, that's fair for both corners. Is this understandable? So the Sahaba, they also used to face the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال رحمه الله تعالى وعن الحكم ابن حزن رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدنا الجمعة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقام متوكئا على عصا أو قوس رواه أبو داود. نار الحكم ابن حزن, may Allah be pleased with him, we attended the Friday prayer with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he صلى الله عليه وسلم is still leaning on a staff, lean on a staff, mean a stick or a bow, reported by Abu Dawud. This hadith is authentic. It shows that the Prophet ﷺ used to lean on sallallahu alaihi wasallam a staff or a bow. Al-Imam ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned that this is before Prophet ﷺ used to have the minbar. Before he used to have the minbar. When they make the minbar for him, he was not using no staff and no bow, nothing. So, the ulama, they say, if the lecturer is in need of something to lean on, he can use his staff. But to consider it sunnah, they say no. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to use when he used to need it. But when he had the minbar, he didn't use it. Muqayyim say so. And other ulama, including Shaykh al-Alban, rahimahullah. Babu Salat al-Khawf, chapter 13, prayer in time of fear. Prayer in time of fear. عن سالح بن خوات عمن صلى مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم ذات الرقاع, صلاة الخوف, أن طائفة من أصحابه صلى الله عليه وسلم صفت معه وطائفة وجاء العدو فصلى بالذين معه ركعة ثم ثبت قائمة وأتموا لأنفسهم ثم انصرفوا فصفوا وجاء العدو وجاءت الطائفة الأخرى فصلى بهم الركعة التي بقيت ثم ثبت جالسا وأتموا لأنفسهم ثم سلم بهم, متفق عليه. وهذا اللفظ مسلم, ووقع في المعرفة لابن المنده عن صالح بن خوات عن أبيه. نار صالح بن خوات, on the authority of one who offered the fear prayer with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of that riqa', that a group, means of the army, formed a line along with him, with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a group faced the enemy. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the group which was with him in a rak'ah, and then remained standing while they finished their prayer by themselves. They then departed and lined up facing the enemy, and the other part come. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them in the remaining rak'ah, means of his prayer, after which he remained sitting while they finished their prayer by themselves. he then led them in uttering the taslim, agree upon. And this is the wording of Muslim. The hadith has been reported by Al-Ma'rifah, in Al-Ma'rifah of Ibn Manda from Sahih, from Salih Ibn Khawat, from his father. In this narration, what can we learn from this hadith? That the prayer, fear prayer, the prayer in time of fear, how many rak'ah? Remember, this is duhur or asr prayer. So it is 2 rak'ah instead of 4 rak'ah. Even though this also it was traveler, but salatul khawf is 2 rak'ah. Fi ghazwa, yes, yani also traveling. So 2 rak'ah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he led the Sahaba in this way. The Sahaba were divided into 2 groups. One group, they are watching the enemy, they're confronting the enemy. And the other group, they enter the Salah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he led them the Salah until he stood for the 2nd rak'ah. When he stood for the 2nd rak'ah, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained. They finished their Salah. They finished their Salah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is standing for the 2nd rak'ah. And the group who pray with him, they went to ruku, they went to sujood, they finished, they make taslim out, they went to confront the enemy and call other sahaba to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they join the 2nd group, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he is in which rak'ah for him? 2nd rak'ah. And for them, 1st rak'ah. So he led them. When he was in tashahud, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he waited. They stood up to pray the 2nd rak'ah. They recite fatih, they make ruku, they come back, they make 2 sujood, they make tashahud. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still waiting them. When they finish the tashahud, he make them taslim out. So each group, how many rak'ah they pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Each group they pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1 rak'ah, and they complete for themselves the other rak'ah. One group they enter the salah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 2nd group they finish the salah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how to pray. This, what do we learn from this? The importance of what? The importance of prayer, and also the importance of congregational prayer. Congregational prayer. Allahu Akbar. There is a time of fear. It's a battlefield. Any time the enemy can jump, can attack. So it's necessary to watch. Also, it's necessary to pray. Not only to pray, but to pray collectively. If this is the case of fear, how about normal time? Allah al-Musta'an. Many Muslims in Muslim land, the adhan is on the top of them. They are in the restaurant. They are in a gambling, some of them. No one is. Few are going to the masjid. They say, we will pray. And after what he finished, whatever he's doing, he go to the masjid, he pray by himself. And sometimes wherever he is, or he go to his home. So jama'ah, congregational prayer, to them is not so important. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he praying even in mala, in a war. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال غزوت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل نجد فوازينا العدو فصففناهم فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى بنا فقام طائفة معه وأقبل طائفة على العدو وركع بمن معه وسجد سجدتين ثم انصرفوا مكان طائفة التي لم تصلي، فجاءوا فركع بهم ركعة وسجد سجدتين، ثم سلم فقام كل واحد منهم فركع لنفسه ركعة وسجد سجدتين. متفق عليه، واللفظ للبخاري. Narrated by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. This is another Sahabi. He said, I went on an expedition with Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Najd. And when we come in front of the enemy, we line up in ranks facing them. Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then stood up and led us in prayer. One group stood up with him while the other faced the enemy. He prayed a rak'ah with those who were with him and made two prostrations then. Then they changed places with those who do not pray. When they come, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed a rak'ah with them and made two prostrations. He then uttered the taslim. He said salam. And each of them got up and prayed a rak'ah alone and made two prostrations agreed upon. And the wording is from Al-Bukhari. And the wording is from Al-Bukhari. طيب, in this hadith, how the Prophet ﷺ led them, those Sahaba, he divided again into two groups. One group praying with him, one rak'ah. Then they left and they replaced the other group. The other group come, they join him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He led them one rak'ah. So each group pray by themselves one rak'ah and two sujood. And they pray one rak'ah and two sujood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith is like the previous one. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الخوف فصففنا صفين صف خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والعدو بيننا وبين القبلة فكبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكبرنا جميعا ثم ركع وركعنا جميعا ثم رفع رأسه من الركوع ورفعنا جميعا ثم انحدر بالسجود والصف الذي يليه والصف الذي يليه وقام الصف المؤخر في نحر العدو فلما قضى السجود قام الصف الذي يليه فذكر الحديث وفي رواية ثم سجد وسجد معه الصف الأول فلما قاموا سجد الصف الثاني ثم تأخر الصف الأول وتقدم الصف الثاني وذكر مثله وفي آخره ثم سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسلمنا جميعا رواه مسلم ولأبي داود عن أبي عياش الزرقي مثله وزاد إنها كانت بعسفان وللنسائي من وجه آخر عن جابر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بطائفة من أصحابه ركعتين ثم سلم ثم صلى بآخرين أيضا ركعتين ثم سلم ومثله لأبي داود عن أبي بكر. Narrated Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. I witnessed Salat al-Khawf, the Salah in fear, with Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we line up in two rows behind him, with the enemy between us and the Qibla. Means the enemy is between them and the Qibla. So the enemy is the direction of the Qibla, means in front of them. It's not behind them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered the takbir. He said the takbir and we all said the takbir. Then he bow and we all bow. Then he raised his head after bowing and we all raise ours. Then he and the row immediately behind him went down in prostration while the rear row stood facing the enemy. Then when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the prostration and the row immediately behind him stood up. The rear row went down in prostration. Then they stood up. Then the rear row went to the front and the front row to the rear. Then the Prophet ﷺ bow and we all bow. Then he raised his head after bowing and we all raised ours. Then he and the row immediately following him, which had been in the rear, in the first rak'ah went down in prostration while the rear row stood up facing the enemy. Then when the Prophet ﷺ and the row immediately following him finished the prostration, the rear row went down and prostrated. Finally, the Prophet ﷺ uttered the taslim. And we all did so, reported by a Muslim. In this narration, how this salah was performed, it was two rak'ah again. This time, the enemy was in front of the Sahaba. So they can see, even though they are in prayer, they can see in front of them, whoever is coming from. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he led them the salah. All of them, they entered the salah from the beginning. And they make ruku' and they raise from ruku'. When it's time to go to sujood, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the first row went to sujood. The second row remained standing, watching the enemy. Because if all of them go to sujood and nobody is watching the enemy, then they may be attacked. So second row, they remain standing. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he finished the sujood, he stood up. And the row who were following him. Then the first, the last, the group, the second row, they come the place of the first row. And the first row, they went back. And they pray also the rak'ah. Prophet, he led them, the second rak'ah. He led the second row. As he led the first rak'ah, the first sujood, two sujood, he led them the first row. He did the same with the second row. And all of them, they make taslim one time. They all make the taslim one time. In another narration, An-Nasa'i reported that this narration through another chain of narrators from Jabir radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ led a group of his companion in two rak'ah, after which he made the taslim. Then he led another group in two rak'ah, after which he uttered the taslim. Abu Dawud has reported similarly from Abu Bakr. This narration is different than the first one. This, it shows the Prophet, he prayed, he led two complete rak'ah for one group, and he led two complete rak'ah for another group. So how many rak'ah he prays, sallam? Four. And how many rak'ah each group pray? Just the two. It depends on the situation. وعن حذيفة نارل حذيفة رضي الله عنه the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم perform صلاة الخوف صلاة in fear leading these companions in one rak'a and those means other companions in one rak'a and they didn't make up the second rak'a reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood and An-Nasai Ibn Hibban Gray is Sahih authentic Ibn Khuzaymah has reported it similarly from Ibn Abbas this narration what it shows, how many rak'ah the Sahaba they pray? Each one, just the one rak'ah. And Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how many rak'ah he pray? Two rak'ah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما, so in this narration is, one time Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prayed two rak'ah, and the Sahaba, each one prayed two rak'ah. And one time he صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed two rak'ah with one group and two rak'ah with another group. And one time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he led each group one rak'ah and he prayed two rak'ah. So the people of knowledge said it depends the situation of the field. Sometimes they are not able to pray more than one rak'ah. Sometimes they are not able that all of them to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even some of them bow down, making sujood, and the other is watching, they're not able because the enemy is in the other direction. So there has to be a group watching them. Sometimes even the situation is a situation they cannot replace one another. whole group has to be there. So one group has to complete the salah with the Prophet salam, and then go, and then the other group come. Al-Muhim, the ulama, they say it depends the situation. But either way, congregational prayer and performing the salah. Some of the people of ilm, knowledge said, scholars said, that the Sahaba, they didn't pray only one rak'ah. They pray one rak'ah with the Prophet ﷺ, but they complete it. They pray by themselves. They say that there is hadith showing so. Yeah, the mature scholar, they said, فهذا الحديث حمله الجمهور على أن المراد أنهم صلوا ركعة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم صلوا ركعة لأنفسهم كما جاء مفسرا في أحاديث أخرى بل في هذا الحديث قوله تكون لهم مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعة ركعة ففي إشارة إلى أنهم أدركوا ركعة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم ينفي أنهم أتوا بركعة أخرى وقد روى مسلم النسائي عن ابن عمر قال صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الخوف في بعض أيامه فقام طائفة معه وطائفة بإزاء العدو فصلى بالذين معه ركعة ثم ذهبوا وجاء الآخرون فصلى بهم ركعة ثم قضت الطائفتان ركعة ركعة. So in this hadith collected by Imam Muslim from Ibn Umar, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he led them the Salah of Fear one of the days. So a group of them, he pray with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other group, they were confronting the enemy. He led those who were with him one rak'ah, then they left. The other group come, he led them one rak'ah. Then each group, each of the two group completed one rak'ah. They pray one rak'ah. This hadith collected by Imam Muslim. وروى النسائي عن سهل بن أبي أخاه حسمة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم صلاة الخوف فصف صفا خلفه وصفا مصاف العدو فصلى بهم ركعة ثم ذهب هؤلاء وجاء أولئك فصلى بهم ركعة ثم قاموا فقضوا ركعة ركعة. Also this hadith from Nasa'i shows the same thing. Therefore, and this other hadith says ولم يقضوا, they didn't make it up, they only pray one ركعة. فلما ذهب فلهذا ذهب جماعة من السلف إلى أن صلاة الخوف يصليها المأموم ركعة فقط وحملها بعضهم على شدة الخوف. Therefore some of the Salaf said the Salah of Fear, the Ma'moom, the one who is not the Imam, he can pray only one rak'ah depending on the situation. وقد روى مسلم عن ابن عباس قال فرض الله الصلاة على لسان نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحضر أربعا وفي السفر ركعتين وفي الخوف ركعة. Also collected by a Muslim from Ibn Abbas, Allah Azza wa Jal made mandatory on you the salah on you on the tongue of his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the residence time for rak'ah, in the traveling time two rak'ah, and in the fear one rak'ah. المهم العلماء they some of them they say it's only one depend on the situation one rak'ah, and the other they say no, they should complete it and pray at least two rak'ah. والحاصل أن من صور صلاة الخوف أن يصلي المأمومون ركعة واحدة فقط وإلى هذا ذهب جماعة من الصحابة والتابعين ومن صورها أن يصلي الإمام أربع ركعات بسلامين وقيل بسلام واحد ويصلي المأمومون خلفه ركعتين. المهم, so the people of knowledge, they have these two opinions. Some of them, they say, depending on the situation, there is a situation, the ma'mum, you can pray only one rak'ah. Some of them, they say, no, two rak'ah. And this hadith means they pray by themselves. Then Imam Al-Hajjar, he said, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الخوف ركعة على أي وجه كان. رواه البزار بإسناد ضعيف. ناري ابن عمر, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the prayer in time of danger is one ركعة, in whatever manner it is, means perform. البزار reported it through a weak chain of narrators. وعنه مرفوعا ليس في صلاة الخوف سهو، أخرجه الدار قدني بإسناد ضعيف. ناري من عمر this حديث is the prophet yes so in this weak narration وعنه مرفوعا ليس في صلاة الخوف سهو أخرجه الدار قدني بإسناد ضعيف. ناري من عمر رضي الله عنه this حديث is attributed to Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. There's no sahaw prostration for forgetfulness in the prayer in time of danger. Ad-Dayrakuni reported it through a weak chain of narrators. So this is a weak. This is the ending of this chapter, Salat al-Khawf. And inshallah, next chapter is Salat al-Eidain, the prayers of the two Eid, two festivals. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.